Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Due to the link and connection with tasawwuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has again given us a gathering, a majlis in which we are here gathered, and with Allah's grace, with His mercy and blessings, He has given us the ability to perform His dhikr, to remember Him, and to share and discuss some events with regards to the Awliya Allah, the pious predecessors, and Allah has given us the understanding and the time to do this. The pious elders, the pious predecessors, their majalis, their gatherings, one thing you will note which is unique. And we realize when we see that unique factor that what is the real meaning of tasawwuf and tazkiyah? Why do we do tazkiyah, purification of the heart and the soul? The reason is one, so that our deen, our way of life, it is based on one factor, one element. The whole deen, way of life of Islam, is so that we can practice it, bring it into practice. And what is that? Yaqeen. The whole deen practice is conditional on one factor, and that factor is yaqeen, certainty, strength of belief, conviction. And without yaqeen, we cannot attain the akhirah. We cannot attain Allah's nearness. And due to yaqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives all of the rewards to a human being. And yaqeen, conviction, strength of belief, certainty is such an element, factor, that Allah ta'ala tests a person's yaqeen all life long. All the examinations or tests and trials that come in a person's life, from the time a person hits maturity, the age of youth, middle age, old age, till death, that Allah ta'ala says that one test repeatedly comes in front of us, and that is that our yaqeen is tested, that how much belief, conviction and trust and reliance do we have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person's yaqeen is strong, if his certainty is strong, conviction is strong, then his amal, his deeds, his actions, his life will be according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. All of the orders Allah ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, all of those orders a person implements based on the strength of his yaqeen. So one is the deen that we keep on practicing. Okay, we pray salah, we do this and recite that. But this is not the standard of yaqeen, strength of belief. The strength of belief, yaqeen, certainty, the standard is that whatever Allah Ta'ala orders us to do, we implement, and whatever Allah Ta'ala tells us to refrain from, we stop. This is the balance in the life of the human being, the mu'min. This is the test, the trial in the life of a believer that Allah Ta'ala tests us with. That Allah Ta'ala says there are limits, boundaries of sharia that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned to us. All of those boundaries, upper limits, they are there for us to see and understand as an example. And if ever you want to do something in life, take a step, Allah Ta'ala has given us the guidance, which is the Sharia and the Sunnah. And to adopt that, to bring that into practice at the right time, at the opportunity, that what is Allah's order at this moment in time, Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is the tariqah of his Sunnah, his practice, and this is where a person can possibly slip and fail or stumble. And this is the test on the human being. To implement Allah's order, because everybody wants to implement. It's not the case that nobody wants to implement. Everybody wants to practice. So to practice that deed, that task, that action, to practice the deen, there's only one action, one method, which is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to us: wa yu'allimuhumu al-Qur'an wal-hikmata wa yuzakkihim. First, the ilm yaqeen, which is the certainty on ilm, Allah's Quran and fiqh, jurisprudence. Then we have ayn al-yaqeen, haqq al-yaqeen. This comes through tazkiyah, purification of the soul. So one thing is the ilm, we know we should pray, or we know that this is unlawful, we should not consume this. Through ilm, through knowledge, through writing, through the Quran, hadith, or if we know from ilm, knowledge, Allah is unhappy with these actions, X, Y, Z. But the human being will implement those orders at that time when he has yaqeen, when he has conviction, belief that this is wrong. For example, there's a child. And if you put fire in front of the child doesn't know, a baby, that this is hot and dangerous. It will look beautiful to him and charming, and he'll put his hand in there. If he put something dirty, excrement, urine. The baby doesn't know that this is impure, and he'll put his hand in it maybe, because he doesn't have that ilm. So in the same way, insan, the human being, when he has yaqeen that yes, verily, verily, this is very dirty, and this action is impure and will give me loss, but outwardly, apparently it looks beautiful. Nafs, the desires, invite that person to the impurity. He implements that impurity, reason being, because his yaqeen was weak. His yaqeen wasn't there. Allah Ta'ala can show to everybody the reality. But Allah is hard for us. But this is why we are human beings, and this is the test for us. So to elevate yaqeen, to strengthen yaqeen, certainty, belief, which is tazkiyah, the method which is to purification of the heart and the soul, Allah says, "Qulu ma'asadiqin," go to the company of those people already in advance, their yaqeen, they have strengthened it, they have strengthened their belief, their conviction, and certainty in Allah. So go to them, Allah says, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? If somebody's a patient, he wants to acquire a cure, is it wrong to go to a hospital? What's wrong about that? Why are you going to the hospital? Why are you taking medicine? You'll say, I'm ill. So if we see that we cannot discard the sins, we're not rejecting the sins, sins are not being, then we're not considering sins as bad. If we don't have yaqeen that we should pray salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if somebody doesn't pray salah, the house should be set on fire. Yes, that's the extreme sin. And this is the example that's been given to one side. If a person doesn't pray salah, his house is destroyed. Like a house is burgled, everything's gone, life is has been given a big hit. So does anybody have yaqeen in this? When we read these hadith, then if we have yaqeen, why do we leave salah? Why do we commit the sin? So we know what the injunctions are. We know what the orders of Allah are. What is compulsory? What is unlawful? So why is it then that we don't pray? Why do we leave salah? Why do we commit sins? I'll give you another example. That there are ahkams and orders and laws in our life. We're not practicing them. So we know about them, but we are ill. And we need to increase our conviction and belief. So if we're ill, go to the company of a wali Allah, a friend of Allah, go to his hospital and register yourself. Become an inpatient. Become a patient. If we say, no, I accept, I want hellfire, I want to fall into the ditch of shaitan, and I want to continue to consume unlawful things and do sins, I want to leave salah, then that person, the whole world is there. Yeah, you can follow your desires and do as you wish. So it's lazim, essential for the insan, that when he goes to the hospital, what's his objective? For example, I went to Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh. Why do we go? Why do we come? That this is not something that, oh, there's a peer there, a Sheikh, and he wants students, the murid. No, there's an objective that Quran has explained. The objective of a student to go to the company of the Sheikh is so that we can elevate and increase our yaqeen, our belief and certainty. He doesn't have some magic spell that he can make you pray salah straight away, or if you go to the Sheikh, please send me on the right journey, or blow on me, or pay attention to me. This is not the case. They don't have some magic spell. In every generation there are different ways of making effort, just like the medicines change. Like before, we hadn't heard of Panadol decades ago. Yeah, I can't remember now, when we were younger there was a small tablet. That is what used to be common. And I'd never heard of Panadol or the medicines we have now. The antibiotics didn't even exist decades ago. But as the dirty or impurities, diseases have spread, then the medicines have come. Now for example, we have sins now. And decades ago there were no radios. If a radio came to a village, people were shocked. What's this? Where's the sound coming from? Who's speaking? People didn't know. And now we have the generation of technology that we have an item, a device in our pocket, and we can sin whenever we want. Just bow your head, look at it, and commit a sin. So, due to the severity of the sins in this day and age, Allah says, has told us that you then need the strong cure. And where will you get the cure from? The solution? From the hospital. So this is Allah's mercy. Just like you're in a village or in a city, and a hospital is constructed, people are happy. Oh, subhanAllah, the diseases, the illnesses. Imran Khan, he opened a cancer hospital, there was nobody there. People were happy that alhamdulillah, there'll be cure for cancer, XYZ, isn't it? This is the case. So the human being opens a hospital. But this is Allah's karam and mercy, that you go to any part of the world of a person with iman, belief goes there, mu'min, to save him. Allah Ta'ala himself opens the hospital in that region, in the vicinity, and he also sees the doctor then. If somebody doesn't come as a patient, that's his problem then, isn't it? But Allah Ta'ala has prepared the solution. Just like our Khanqah, the first khanqah when it was opening up 50 years ago, more than that, there was no khanqah in Europe. People said, is he a peer? Why has he come? I never did any action without the order from above, from my sheikh teacher. But no, Allah Ta'ala has ordered in tazkiyah, Allah has ordered that everybody must implement tazkiyah, purification. So hospitals will open in all regions and the doctors will arrive there, the spiritual doctors. And as soon as the hospital opened, the khanqah, mashallah, the marids came, the patients came, and I was surprised. What's going on here? I don't know these people. Where have they come from? And Bolton, when I came, nobody knew me at Bolton. And how many, mashallah, patients are sitting now? How many students are sitting now? Did anybody know me here in Bolton? Nobody knew me. Nobody was with me. One night I got up, put my bedding together, and I transferred from one hospital to another. The new duty came here in this town, and I came and sat down here. Subhanallah. So this is this generation I'm speaking about. I'm not a pious person. I don't have no knowledge. I'm not a sheikh or peer. I'm just giving you an example that Allah Ta'ala prepares the solution for His creation. And those, subhanAllah, they consider themselves as patients. Alhamdulillah, they admitted themselves into the hospital. And have the disease is not gone far? Has the yaqeen not increased? Of course it has. There's nothing else that's done there. Until today, we think that why am I not seeing visions and kashf and karamat and dreams, etc. Alhamdulillah, our marid, the patients, they're happy that they're not seeing anything supernatural, but their salah is strengthened. They're not leaving salah. How comes we are praying salah in congregation? How comes my yaqeen has gone strong? Because if I don't pray salah, I'll be in a bad situation. And his vision for sin of lying and doing wrong, I should see this person in a dream, a vision, I've got piety. No, because his yaqeen has strengthened. So he's seen something. That this is the real article. That Allah Ta'ala will ask me tomorrow about these important factors. Why am I falling into a trap of doing silly things? Am I right or am I wrong? So have we not discarded haram? Unlawful actions, unlawful items, many sins have been shunned, discarded, and we are in enjoyment. But those people are not enjoyment, who are not changing their life for the better. So those patients who understood that, for example, yes, we're getting healthier now, and the rest of the people in the world, they are ill, and they think that we are ill, but in reality, they are ill, because they're continuing to do the wrong actions. So how important, this is essential. So the big point I'm explaining to you, to ourselves, we go to the company of the walis of Allah, so that we can increase our certainty, conviction and belief. When belief increases, strengthens, sins will be left, salah will pray, our hands won't go towards haram, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel will understand, that Allah is enough for me, why should I eat haram? Allah is enough for me, I'll be able to pass this time. Why should I be wretched and dishonored? Allah Ta'ala is enough for me, why should I open off licenses? Why do I need to do wrong? Allah is the one who will give rizq. When yaqeen increases, strengthens, alhamdulillah, then the real results will come in front of us. Tawakkal Allah, trust in Allah, will be so great that 10,000, 10 pounds will for us seem equivalent to 10,000 pounds. This is yaqeen. There's no magic spell cast in the company of the wali Allah. It's just that they train us to strengthen our conviction and our faith and our certainty in Allah. So the first point, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not wasting your time, am I? No. Okay. So this is what this gathering is about. That's why we discuss these important factors here. So, the first lesson have we understood? That we, when we go to a sheikh, a teacher, we are saliks, honest salik, honest traveler who wants to pray salah, leave haram, leave unlawful actions, who has fear of Allah, who has fear of the grave. When he reads the Quran, he asks himself, how can I be corrected? Oh, I keep on swearing to and promising I won't do sins, then I commit the sins again. I promise I won't do wrong and I do wrong again. You understand? So then he goes to the company of the wali Allah to improve himself. Then first and foremost, to leave the sins, I'll give you the example. To leave the sins, I'll give you my example. I went to Hazrat Nur al-Marqada's gathering, Mela Elevated Status, and I went to his gathering for the first time. He didn't say to me, pray Salah, don't do this action. I had many sins to my name. I sat down in his company. He seated me in his company. He invited me to stay in his company when I sat in his company. Then that one thing that started to change and improve me was that yaqeen and faith in Allah started to increase. Subhanallah. And he never said to me, keep the beard. He didn't say that wear this libas. He never said this. Never. He never forced that upon me or us. And he never said that wear the imamah. Etc. He didn't say anything. When yaqeen will strengthen, Allah Ta'ala automatically will start to see Allah. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll start to love his sunnah and his methodology. You don't need a pressure or lectures or speeches. In the company of the walis wala, there are no speeches, lectures. My Hazrat, my Sheikh used to speak once in the week on the night of Jummah. Just 20, 25 minutes, 15 minutes. Alhamdulillah, short, concise, brief statements for our benefit. The reason that topic was to increase our conviction, belief and faith in Allah, certainness. So we understand step number one, lesson number one today. Why do we go to the company of the walis of Allah? So that we can strengthen our yaqeen. And yaqeen will be strengthened when we will do an action to strengthen the yaqeen. So what does tasawwuf, the science of tasawwuf and tazkiyah, it tells us the first step to strengthen your yaqeen, belief and conviction, is that you should have belief in that teacher whose company you're going to. If you don't have belief in your teacher, if you don't have yaqeen in what he's saying or ordering you to do, the question doesn't arise that you can get to step number two. That's why people fail. I do dhikr, I still do haram. They think that dhikr is the objective. Dhikr is not the objective. Dhikr is totally not the objective. If you don't do dhikr, and you have the company of the shaykh, then alhamdulillah, your yaqeen, belief, certainty, conviction, even then will increase and solidify. Dhikr is an assistance to increase your thawab, your reward. Our objective is not dhikr. Yes, that we need to elevate our belief, our strength of iman. So you should experience this, that when you go to the company of waliullah, if you don't do dhikr and you continue to stay in his company, you'll start to improve for the better. And that's why we do maraqabah, more silent dhikr in the heart. Maraqabah, silent dhikr, when a student sits with this teacher in maraqabah, there are more positive effects on that person's heart and body. When a person does maraqabah, silent dhikr, there's a lot of energy, the current flows. But the person who is new, who isn't accustomed to doing dhikr, then he looks at enjoyment. That's why we do jahir, loud dhikr. Then after that, the direction is given for silent dhikr. It's the same stage. Close the eyes, heart should be open to allow the fares to come in. Enjoyment is attained in maraqabat. Hours upon end, you could sit to do silent dhikr of the heart. Subhanallah. So what we've realized is that step number one for the student is that he should have total 100% belief and conviction and faith in the teacher. That whatever he's saying is from Allah. And this is the reality. When a sheikh speaks, when a waliullah speaks, then he doesn't fall in the trap of wasteful talk. Rather, the awliyallah, the waliyallah, they speak in accordance with Allah's desire, whatever Allah Ta'ala has allowed their heart and mind to absorb at that time, and they benefit the student with that. They don't talk wasteful talk, nonsense talk. That's why every statement of the shaykh is a lesson for the salik, for the student. A salik, a traveler on the path of tasawwuf, his belief in his shaykh should be so great, whatever words come out from the blessed tongue and statement of his shaykh, that maybe is beyond my understanding, but whatever he's saying is honest and truth, and I will do practice on that. Whether I understand or not, I will implement the shaykh's nasiha and guidance and orders. We go to a shaykh, a teacher, and I just speak generally speaking. I'm not even a sheikh, a teacher. I speak generally speaking about students who go to a sheikh's gathering and they have a peer, they go to the sheikh, Hazrat, can you advise me? Can we consult on this point? I want to do this action, that action, can you advise? Now Hazrat's given a mashwara, Hazrat Sahib is advising, isn't it? If he's got yaqeen that this mashwara that's coming, if his yaqeen is strong that this is coming from Allah, that don't do this action, this is not good for you. But the whole enjoyment he sees in the action, how can I leave this? I'll get benefit and wealth and or whatever worldly benefit. I need to do this. This is where enjoyment will come. I need to get married here. I need to open up this shop or this business. And he's taken the advice and he hasn't changed himself or adopted the consultation of the teacher. Then he's not taking the order. He's not following the advice. Rather than benefit, he'll get more loss. Or he's desperate, anxious. What should you do? Is that when you consult, this is an example, as soon as the teacher says, whether you see 1,000 benefits in that, you say, that's the end of story. You change the direction, I will follow the advice and guidance given to me, because the pious elder has advised me this. So this is the first step, that when a person follows the orders of his sheikh, and he said, I don't understand them, but benefit is in whatever my shaykh has said, I'll practice that. Then, alhamdulillah, the next step, he becomes so strong that he starts to understand Allah's orders, that he gives up everything, but he never rejects Allah's order, subhanAllah. So this is the first step, the initial step, That person becomes so strong that whatever my shaykh has ordered me to do, I need to implement that. And there could be different orders that the shaykh gives. Allah Ta'ala tests every murid is different. Treatments are different from the shaykh. I remember an event, a very good event. This is about yaqeen and belief and faith in the shaykh. That how in the khanqa, the spiritual hospital, the yaqeen is developed in the student when the murid attains conviction and belief, yaqeen, the benefits he get. And sometimes he doesn't understand that time, the results and the positive results come out afterwards. That my shaykh gave me this order and I thought that this was against Islam or ghair shara, against sharia. But this has now taught me how to pray salah, and I've come onto the path of Islam strongly. Hazrat Mirza Mazhab Jane Jana Rahmatul Alay was a great sheikh in the Naqshbandi order, and sometimes we regularly mention him and speak about him. Beautiful, beloved sheikh. And Hazrat Shah Wali Allah Delwi Rahmatullah Alay stated about him. Hazrat Shah Wali Allah Delwi Rahmatullah was such a great sheikh that Allah gave him kashf, great inspiration, and he stated himself as a Shawalilah, Allah Ta'ala has given me inspiration and vision that I can see the whole world in my hand as if a bead is on my hand. This is the statement of Shah Wali Allah Dilwi, and he was a great sheikh himself. And he said about the sheikh, Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jani Jal Ramadan, who lived around that time, he said, Allah has told me through kashf, vision, that at this moment in time, Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jani Jal Ramadan, there's no greater Wali Allah than him in the world. He is the Qutb of his time. Subhanallah. This was his status, Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jani Jal Ramadan. So that was his generation, the time he lived in Delhi. And in Delhi he had a khanqa, and the world was benefiting, getting faiz and blessings, and the silsila, the Naqshbandi order was progressing, the path to meet Allah. So an individual came. All different types of students come. He was distressed, upset. And he came to the khanqa, and he sat in the khanqa of Hazrat Sahib. Subhanallah. And he came and sat down, and he introduced himself to Hazrat. And he came close to Hazrat Sahib. He spent time there, and mashallah, and he included himself amongst the murids, the students, and he saw that he's a wali Allah, and he started to gain peace and contentment. He started to get close to Hazrat, to his sheikh. So Hazrat Sahib once was given a dars, speaking, and Hafiz Razi rahmatullahi's couplets were being recited to his murids, and he recited a couplet, subhanallah, and that couplet, that poem, I can't remember all of it. It was in Farsi, Persian. I'll try a little bit to recite it, to recall it. And what he said was that, this is the couplet, that one of the verses, I remember that, look, and Hazrat Mirza Mazhar was reciting this couplet. And this was a couplet, a poem about Ma'rifah and Ninis to Allah, and the murids, the students were feeling good. And he felt it was a bit ajeeb. He thought it was weird. That what's my sheikh saying here? I've come here to learn deen, and he's saying something which to me looks odd. He thought, this is beyond my understanding. And Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jana Ramadan said that, when he recited the couplet, he said that, he's explaining the levels of ishq in Farsi, in Persian, that he said that in the beginning, deen looks simple, but as you progress along the steps of ishq and love of Allah, then deen becomes hard. So remember to elevate your yaqeen, your conviction, belief, strengthen it. And if your peer, I'm just giving you the translation, if your peer, your sheikh tells you, that douse your prayer mat with alcohol, then obey his order and douse it, the prayer mat, with alcohol, because your belief and conviction in your shaykh should be such that your teacher wants to take you to Allah, and he's showing you the path to Allah. Then how, subhanallah, the student himself, he should believe in what the shaykh is saying and trust him. So at that time, he thought that this sounds odd, that he's talking about alcohol, this is haram, go towards unlawful, how can the sheikh advise this? He didn't understand. So he carried on the path, and he kept on going in the company of the sheikh, and eventually a stage came, then he understood that once his sheikh said, you will not understand this couplet, one day you will explain to me yourself this couplet. And that discussion ended for that time. Time passed. Once Hazrat said that, I feel that you should go to this locality in town, and there's the impure area where women sell their services, and I want you to go take some money there and spend the night there. He thought this is haram, but at least he understood at that time, he developed such understanding that I should obey the saying and the instruction of the sheikh. So the sheikh gave him some money, and he went towards that area, that location where immoral actions were being implemented. He went to that area, he knocked on the door for the lady to come. When the lady came out and saw that man, she fell unconscious. Subhanallah. She fell unconscious, fell down. Now, after some time, she came back to consciousness. He said, why you fell unconscious? She said, I fell unconscious for this reason. I fainted before today. I've never seen a man like this, that he tries to come to my home. And why? Because whenever a man comes to my home and knocks on the door, and this used to happen every time, that Allah Ta'ala protected me so much. Allah protected me so much, because I'm not a woman like this. I'm not a woman for this area, for these actions, immoral actions. So Allah Ta'ala protected me so much that as soon as a man would come and knock, then suddenly a pious elder surrounded by nur would come, and he'd stand in between that man and me, and he'd push that man so hard that that man would be shoved away. And this, I was protected, because I'm not this type of woman who does these actions. She says, is this, what kind of event is this? This is odd, he said. And then he thought that maybe, he thought about his sheikh, was he a total yakini sheikh? He thought that my sheikh is the greatest sheikh in this generation. He said, if I show you that sheikh who came to stand in between you and the man, would you recognize him if I showed you? He said, she said, yes. So he went back to Hazrat Sahib. And when he got to his Hazrat's company, Hazrat said in advance that you've come to collect me. And he was surprised, he said, yes, Hazrat. Yes. I thought that you can come with me. I am stuck in a bit of a conundrum challenge. You sent me somewhere and something else is going. He said, okay, let me come with you, see what's happening. So Hazrat himself started to speak towards that locality. Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jane Jane, and he knew where to go. When he reached, they arrived there and they knocked on the door. When the woman came out, she shrieked that this is that man, that pious elder, who kept on protecting me. This is that face with nur and light, and he used to protect me all the time when a man would come to my home. And he was surprised that the murid, the student, how can this be? My Hazrat has never come to this area, and this woman, what's she saying that she recognized him? How comes? So he said, I don't understand. She said, Hazrat, why haven't you come today to save me when this man came to knock at my door? Hazrat Sahib said, I didn't come for this reason. All the men that came before today, they were ghair mahram, unlawful for you. But this man, he is your mahram, he's lawful for you. Mahram? She was surprised, shocked. I don't understand. How can he be my mahram? She said, Hazrat, I've not understood what you're saying. Then Hazrat Mirza Sahib Ramdai said, that tell me your story, O woman. What happened to you? How did you arrive here? Who are you? How did you get here? She said, Hazrat, until today I have not told my events, my story to anyone. But what happened was that I used to live in a certain village, and I got married, and we were going to the marriage. The nikah took place, the barat, my husband's family were ready. We sat in the boat, and the barat, the husband's family, was also sailing alongside. Then in the river came a storm, and then my husband's, the family, that their boat disappeared, and our boat disappeared. Everybody drowned, and I was saved, and somehow I got to the bank of the river. There were some bandits, and they got hold of me, and they took me and sat me down here in this immoral location. And I was an upright and honest woman. Allah Ta'ala from that day saved me, and you kept on coming to save me. Subhanallah. Then Hazrat turned to the student, his student, to that man, and said, that now you can recount your events. And he was shocked. He said, this is the same story as me. I also, this occurred with me, and my family was with me, and I also drowned or was sinking. Then I got to the bank of the river. I didn't think anything else. I didn't take any assistance. Somebody told me, in Delhi there's a sheikh, go to him. So without any other path, any thinking, I took hold of Allah Ta'ala's assistance, and I came and sat in your khanqah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So Hazrat Sahib stated that your wife who drowned, went missing, and who you got married to, this is that woman. Subhanallah. That's why I said that she is a mahram for you, and you're the mahram for her. And then Hazrat said that, recite that couplet that I recited some while ago, that you were at odds with and you didn't agree with. Subhanallah. And that couplet was repeated. That couplet was repeated. That the things that I said that you were against, that you thought they were weird, but this is what comes from the awliya Allah. They give a hikmah, wisdom, lessons of wisdom. Allah Ta'ala says that the person thinks something else is going to happen, but in reality the right thing occurs. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he said, well, I haven't just understood what you said, O Shaykh, that I've understood what you've said totally, and I've understood your maqam, Hazrat Sahib, totally. So this is the reality of life in the company of the pious people. If a murid, a student, doesn't have belief, total 100% in his teacher, then he cannot progress to the next stage. He will reject and shun. So when a sheikh orders a student to do something, because that's why we've gone to the teacher's company, to increase our certainty and belief. If he's telling you to leave haram, and we know if we think that if he's telling us to leave unlawful things, and you say, no, I'm accustomed to this, I'm habitual and wrong. But when he gives you a path, a method, doesn't matter what it sounds like or looks like, yes, if you want to be reformed, then you should burn the bridge behind you, that whatever my husband says to me, I will follow and I will not implement any other action. And this is the first lesson of the tasawwuf, to strengthen your belief in yaqeen in your teacher, so that you obey his sayings. May Allah Ta'ala strengthen our yaqeen, and may Allah Ta'ala give us, his name is due to yaqeen. As if our yaqeen and belief is weak, then where does rizq come from? Who will give food, bread? How will this occur? How will I be successful? How will I eat? No, if I do this action, then I can pass the test. If I do this action, then I can pass the test, or I'll get success, prosperity. Subhanallah, that we need to follow Allah's orders, ahkams, and to do that we need to strengthen our yaqeen. Whatever order Allah has given to me, that is an honest hukum order. Whatever we'll ask from Allah. And it doesn't matter how great the difficulty is, we won't go to an amil, a magician, a sorcerer, jinnat, nothing. Who are we going to bow in front of? Beg in front of Allah Ta'ala. Who are we going to ask from? Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah. Who will give? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. And if there's anyone's assistance, whose assistance is there? Allah's assistance. When we get this yaqeen, when we develop this belief, certainty, conviction, then can that individual do a wrong action? Can he beg? Will he earn wealth through incorrect means? Never will he do that. May Allah ta'ala elevate all of our yaqeen and certainty and belief. Ameen.
السلام والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المظلمين دعوة ياسين الحبيب المنين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميدان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واجعلنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعملنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا بزمرته يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا داعي البليات اتبع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الله يهو منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.